the EFL. It's the Football League podcast that can't find a news headline that's not incredibly depressing to crowbar into the intro. Today, Leicester are nervous, Millwall are so Millwall. We've still got no idea who's going down, but Stockport and Pompey are nearly up. Powered by Quinbet, this is What the EFL. And we're here on a pretty significant week in the Football League. We're getting closer to knowing who's going to be where next season. With me here today are Adrian Clark and Sam Parkin. Adrian, how are you doing?
I'm all right. I'm fine. Yeah, I was watching the Champions League last night rather than the Championship. But yeah, I've tried to catch up. But yeah, all good.
It's getting exciting, isn't it, Sam? You were at Millwall on Tuesday night. We'll talk about that imminently. But yeah, we still got no idea what's going to happen in the second tier, and that's just the way we like it.
Yeah, we're biased, aren't we? But genuinely, best one in recent memory, this Championship. Honestly, I think it's been amazing. And me and you were treated, Matt, weren't we, last week to Chelsea 4, Man United 3. And I did kind of wander around the house the following day thinking, where do I go from here? You know, is that the highlight? Is that going to be the highlight of my co-commentating career? And even last night at Millwall, first half a bit drab, but I walked away with a real spring in my step just because there's so much on every game, incredible atmospheres. It's just thrilling. Loving it.
Yeah. Some people don't like football. I'll never understand that, but I never respect it either. Anyway, before we get into the games from Tuesday night, let me remind you that our friends at Quinbet have enhanced their UK welcome offer where you can now get a free bet worth up to £35. It is for new customers that sign up only. Check out the full terms and conditions at quinbet.com/promotions or use the link provided in the show notes. It's 18+. And remember, always gamble responsibly. Okay, let's get to Tuesday. So Ipswich will go top if they beat Watford on Wednesday after Leicester lost and Leeds drew. Leeds 0-0 at home to Sunderland. Leicester going down 1-0 in South East London at the Den. Sam was there to see Ryan Longman's brilliant goal move Millwall 4 points clear of trouble. We probably ought to start with the winners of the game, Sam. That decision to bring Neil Harris back has already been justified. And are they safe now for you based on what you saw last night and the state of the table?
No, they're not safe, but I said it last night, quite a few occasions. Games are pretty kind. I know it's difficult to go down that road, but they play, I would say, Swansea should be safe by the time they play them. I think it's Swansea, Cardiff, Sunderland. 3 games against them and then against Plymouth Argyle. So one real tough game against the team in relegation difficulty. The other 3, I think they should get enough points. I just saw loads from the team last night. Neil Harris spoke about that possibly being the kind of best performance without the ball. Absolutely, that was my sentiment leaving there. They got it so right, and Clarkie would have seen them live, Leicester, copious amounts of times. They move you around. You know, at times last night, from my vantage point, that back 3 was really evident. Leicester, it's almost a diamond midfield with Winks deep. Ricardo Pereira so high on the right-hand side, and then Ndidi on the left, and then Dewsbury Hall behind a central striker. So they moved them around, but Honeyman did a really good job at tracking Ricardo Pereira. He had to go off injured, and it was actually the goal scorer, Longman, who had to do a bit of a job on Ricardo defensively. So you have to be so well drilled without the ball. Yeah, kind of 4-4-2, but kind of little variations within that. I'm sure Neil Harris would have planned on the training ground for it. But then with the ball, they grew in the second half. And Obafemi had by far and away his most fruitful performance in a Millwall shirt. Getting turned, running, you have to have, I think, a bit of that threat against quite a back 3 that lacks in pace for Leicester, and I thought Obafemi brought that. And then you still have to be reliant on an unbelievable goal from Ryan Longman, or is it Ryan Leonard? Ryan Longman, it was the same person, isn't it? I mean, I just kept confusing them all night. Ryan Leonard was like Gary Neville at right back. He's a central midfielder. He was incredible up against Mavadidi. So you just had 9 out of 10 performances from Millwall across the board. And that's not, you know, been evident at all, certainly in the last couple of games. Bold from Harris, going with the same team that lost at Huddersfield in the last minute. And I'm sure loads of Millwall fans would have questioned that. But brilliant job. And I expect them to beat Cardiff now. I expect them to be so boisterous, so bubbly next few days at the training ground. It was an outstanding win. Just one line on Leicester. Yeah, really limp. Weren't really tested defensively loads. Mill had two or three opportunities. Jamie Vardy, just thought after about an hour, not sure he's touched the ball. He had one scuffed shot in the first half. And I know that's kind of his game, isn't it? Playing on the last line, 20 runs, 30 runs, 40 runs. If he gets in once and gets his goal, brilliant. You know, I certainly wasn't like that as a forward. I'd be on the edge of my own box trying to get little touches, just little bounce passes. But so he played 73 minutes last night. Leicester had 72.9% of the ball when he went off. He had 9 touches of the ball. Romain S came on for Millwall just prior to him going off. And I had a little look. I got the Who Scored app up because I just think, he's literally not touched the ball here. So I looked at it and the substitute had been on for 2 minutes and he'd had an equal amount of touches as Jamie Vardy. just incredible. And I'm not saying he was disgustingly poor last night. You know, he wasn't in comparison to his teammates. But I just think, how do they get more out of their strikers? Why aren't they getting more out of their strikers? Is it a case of the system doesn't you know, fit that one striker? I just don't know. But I think that's certainly a quandary for the manager and the question marks that will inevitably be asked by the supporters if they don't make it automatically.
What I would ask, Sam, is what did they try and do to get him in the game? Is the answer nothing in terms of doing something different? Because that is the accusation levelled at Maresca. It is that, you know, they build from the back, they try and get it to Dewsbury Hall or Ndidi, and then they go wide. They go really wide, don't they, to Mavididi or Fataru. I know it was Atkin that played last night. And I think that's why. I think that they're so wide. Vardy's got no one to link with, so he basically just stays in there waiting for waiting to make those runs across defenders. Yeah, it's a funny one. On Leicester, and you know, I hope they go up. I think they deserve to go up. But I think that lack of pace at the back that you talk about will kill them in the Premier League if they go up. I'd get rid of them all, to be honest. I'd keep Ricardo, but I wouldn't. I don't think they can go into that season with Vestergaard, Vash, Doyle, you know, or Cody, any of those guys, really. I think they need a proper revamp at the back.
He brought on Justin quite late, and obviously that gave them kind of the dual pronged attack from fullback. So Ricardo, obviously on the right hand side, is going to do that, and Justin can do it as well. But it also helped with that recovery pace a few times in transition when Mill were actually looking like they were going to create something in the aftermath of going ahead. His recovery pace got them out of trouble a few times. And the obvious omission last night was Fataru. He comes on and all of a sudden they looked incredibly more dynamic. So I just think on reflection, he gave Atgun probably just a bit of a sympathy game because I think he came on and affected it the other day, dragged him after an hour, hardly did anything. I felt a bit sorry for him because, you know, when you're on the periphery, Clark, you need two or three games, don't you?
Yeah.
So it was a bit of a...
They missed McAteer as an option, haven't they? Because McAteer was providing goals when he stepped in, but his injury, I think, has really hurt them.
All right. Well, we might touch on Leicester again briefly when we preview their game with Plymouth. Just before we leave this one, though, I just wanted to give Neil Harris some credit for what is a contender for quote of the season for me. Firstly, it's so Millwall-like to lose to Rotherham and Huddersfield both in the last minute and then beat the league leaders. That's what this club does. Not just this group, the last 30 years of Millwall Football Club. Yeah. A lovely little word from the gaffer. Plymouth, as I say, we'll talk about them later. They drew 1-1 with QPR. Southampton beat Coventry 2-1. Bit of controversy about this one, specifically the first goal. Coventry felt it should have been ruled out. It was Kyle Walker-Peters' shot, which deflected off Shea Adams' arm. It's a win that Southampton needed, Clarkie, because they hadn't had one in a while, albeit we think that they're just nailed on for the playoffs. The more significance of this result is the fact that Coventry didn't pick up any points, is it? And therefore don't make up any ground on Norwich. You could only draw at Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah, I think Mark Robbins will be actually disappointed, even though on the face of it, losing 2-1 at Southampton isn't exactly a disaster. I think he'll be frustrated because they didn't really show up in the first half. I know they had a penalty in that first half, where Quarrel Hadji Wright slipped and double kicked it, didn't he? So that was a bit
David
of a disaster.
Beckham against Turkey, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a real disaster. But they were a bit slow, they sort of lacked a bit of sharpness. And Southampton were at it. And if Southampton are at it, they can slice through anyone, can't they? Yeah, look, it may well have come off his hand and gone in, and you're annoyed that they haven't spotted it, but we don't want VAR. So it's just the way the cookie crumbles, I guess. Yeah, for Kov, yeah, I still think they can apply pressure to Norwich. I do, because their defence is significantly better than Norwich's in terms of their just record as a whole. They've got a defence that isn't far off West Brom's in terms of keeping clean sheets, keeping teams at bay. So I think that they'll be really hard to beat. They've got some tough games, but I think they'll be hard to beat between now and the end of the season. I still see maybe one slip up from Norwich City. So, yeah, they're not out of it yet.
Yeah, two defeats in the last three for Coventry, but in between those losses, they beat Leeds. So, far from faltering, you would say. So Norwich, the team they're looking to catch, Sam, they drew 2-2 at Sheffield Wednesday. The Owls waited until it went dark to peg back the Canaries, was my note on this one. Really good nice. Point for Wednesday, right? Given the circumstances, maybe a bit of after the Lord Mayor's show for Norwich after that famous win on Saturday.
Yeah, a bit weird, wasn't it? I mean, I don't really associate Sheffield Wednesday with being overly elaborate at the back. So just a bit peculiar giving away those two clumsy goals trying to play out. And in the same sense, I don't associate them with being brilliant, certainly not this season, from set pieces. I think that's 25% of their goals from set pieces came last night. So credit to Danny Rowe if he's thought, do you know what? That's gone horrifically wrong in the first half. Triple substitution at halftime. Bit of power, Patterson. Bit of endeavour, Volks as well. Has obviously got the long throw. Adds a little bit of physicality to their game, and they scored from two carbon copies. So credit him for being proactive and maybe being quite versatile in the game plan, and that was evident. Interesting comments from David Wagner. I thought about the lack of depth, and I did have a look. There's three 19-year-olds and a 20-year-old on the bench, so he's probably got a point. I don't know. I think they've been curtailed by injuries this season, haven't they? And we've seen the difference it's made to have the main big hitters back in his squad. But interesting that he's felt it was the time to come out and discuss the lack of depth for this stage.
It's Premier League clubs with teenagers on the bench every week. Look around. Yeah. Look around the division. I think that's clutching a little bit. I from the bits I saw of this game, Norwich should have been out of sight. You know, they sliced through them. They had loads of chances. And they've thrown it away by getting themselves in the right pickle from those two corners. You're right, by the way. Wednesday have a very mediocre record from scoring from corners. Norwich aren't noted for being terrible at defending them, particularly. But what's your take? Because obviously they just crowded the keeper. I think it was a 7v7 or an 8v8 inside the 6-yard box. For anyone that hasn't seen it, you've got to watch these goals, because you've never seen anything like it. And I just think, where was the thinking after you conceded the first to not change it for the second? And what by that, I mean, so they've whipped it under the crossbar, 8v8, they've got the first header on it, it's a goal. The second time, you've got to put someone out by the corner taker, and you've got to make that person jump up and down. I know it sounds ridiculous, but you've got to.
I didn't think you were going to say that, but I like it.
You've got to put off the corner taker. You've got to make them feel like they've got to chip it or dink. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And for both of those corners, that guy had, I think it was Will Volks that was taking them, and had all the time and space to just whip it in at pace. I would have put at least one player out there just to jump up and down. And it might have just changed the type of corner that they put into the box, but no one thought on their feet there.
Right, okay, we're going to go from Owls and Canaries to give you, Adrian, the chance to crow, because earlier this season, you did a scouting report on Milutin Osmajic and said he's one to watch. Lo and behold, he hits an 8-minute hat-trick as Preston beat Huddersfield 4-1. It's setting up what Ryan Lowe is calling the biggest game of his reign as Preston boss, as they look to usurp Coventry and Norwich and get themselves a place in the playoff place as they host Norwich this weekend. This was a double whammy for them, wasn't it? Because it was 3 points they really needed, but also it sinks a rival closer to the drop. So a lovely night all round if you're of a lily white persuasion.
Yeah, and that is a game that might be problematic for Norwich. And then look, if you're Ryan Lowe, by the way, what do you do from corners? Of course you crowd the goalie. You know, Angus Gunn didn't cover himself in glory, and neither did the defender. So I think that's a fragility now that other teams might play on. On Osmajic, yeah, look, I mean, he's not exactly had a blinding campaign. He's not in a race for the golden boot. He's sort of been in and out of the team. He had a few injuries, I know. But I tell you what, when he gets into his stride and he makes a run across his defender, you're not stopping him. I mean, he's strong, isn't he, Sam? He's a proper barrel.
They got chest. Well, they got three, haven't they? Four with Ched Evans as well. They got four in the mould of me, but better.
What I like about Osmajic is, or what I liked particularly about this hat trick, was that he started off on the left of his marker every single time with the intention of making a diagonal run across them, because he knows that he's so broad and quick that if he gets in front, he's goal side, he's ball side of them, and he did it for all three goals. It was quite remarkable. And when you see hat tricks like that, you think, why doesn't he do that all the time? Why isn't he scoring for fun week in, week out, making those runs? But, you know, it's not as easy as that, is it? So, yeah, I think that's good news for Preston, maybe bad news for Norwich ahead of the weekend.
What did you make of the penalty decision, Clarkie? I don't know if you've seen it.
It's a dive, isn't it?
I mean, you talk about the controversy from the Emirates last night. Again, I think this one would be probably split, because I think there is a bit of a leg dangle. But as soon as I saw it, I thought it looked a little bit peculiar the way... I know he's a big guy, Keane, but the way he goes down, I think he smelt it, didn't he? I think he played for it.
Sniffed it, he did, didn't he? He just collapsed, didn't he? Yeah. Didn't seem like he was knocked over, but yeah.
And it's the defining moment in the game, isn't it? A massive moment. Credit, like obviously, like you said, huge credit to Preston, because I thought they'd be way off it now. So to be in with a chance, huge credit. But I thought that was a big moment last night.
Yeah, and Huddersfield may well be left rueing that one win in eight for them. They go to Bristol City this weekend. All right, we'll have a little pause, then come back and talk League One. Right, in League One on Tuesday, damaging defeats for Fleetwood and Cheltenham, really the story. Cheltenham lost at home to relegated Carlisle. Fleetwood 6 points from safety after they were beaten at Blackpool. Sam, can you make a case for either of those two to stay up now?
Not for Fleetwood, I don't think. Going to be really difficult. The problem I've seen for them, I think they've been harder to beat under Charlie Allen, Adam, that's for sure. But they've only had three victories. And it was like, they got thumped, didn't they, by Oxford the other day. And I was like, that's really out of character. Just had a look at it this morning. That's the only time they've been beaten by more than one goal since the 6th of January, beaten at home by Derby 3-1. So they've been in every single game. And they've had couple of thumping wins there, just too many draws. Obviously, this one will hurt, given the opponent. So no, I think it's going to be really tricky. They need to try and get to the final day where they play Burton, and Burton play Cheltenham coming up soon as well. So if the result goes for them and they can get to that last day, oh, they'd absolutely snap your hand off. But ultimately, I think it's too little, too late.
Well. Before they get there, they've got to win at Posh and win at Orient. Can't see that happening. But before that, I think they've got Northampton at home. So, yeah, it's going to be real tough.
Snookers needed for them, maybe then.
On Cheltenham, Matt, no shots on target. At home to relegated Carlisle. I mean, that's grim, isn't it? That's real dismal. And they've kind of hit the wall at just the wrong time. Three successive home defeats. They worked so hard to get themselves in a position where they could escape it. And then they've almost gone back to early season Cheltenham. Obviously, didn't they score no goals in their first 10 games? So anything compared to that is an improvement. But seven goals in their last 10 games still isn't good. And it's not the form that will keep you up, unfortunately. So, yeah. Yeah, I feel for them a little bit, because they grafted so hard to put themselves in the mix.
Here's a little blurred cliche for you. the games against teams that are on the beach can be dangerous games. Agreed, Clarkie, when there's no pressure.
Players
are playing for contracts. Kids are out there playing their first games. They're dangerous games.
Yeah.
Tell you what are even worse games against already relegated sides. I looked at that last night and I thought that is a horrible game for Cheltenham. What's the Carlisle players' motivation? Hey, let's take this lot with us. 100%. We're done. Let's do for these as well. You know, against another team somewhere else in the division, sometimes you concede the first. I will chuck this. Mm. But nothing sweeter than dragging someone else down with
we'll
you.
We'll chuck this. Have you been in a team that's ever gone, yeah, we're going to chuck
some
this?
Some extraordinary allegations been thrown around in the last 20 seconds.
No. When you concede a goal in a nothing game, where is your motivation when you're already relegated or there's nothing to play for? It takes, you know, character, motivation, fight. I think in that game last night, I've been in those sides. You're already down and you think, you know what, let's give it to these lot as well.
Blackpool obviously beat Fleetwood in that sort of Far Coast derby. They're binary, aren't they? Have you seen their latest results? I'm going to read them out. 1-0, 1-0, 0-0, 0-1, 0-1, 1-0, 0-0, 2-0, 0-1. I mean, it's an extraordinary run, isn't it?
Neil Critchley's entertainers, as nobody calls them. Right, so we were talking Cheltenham, Adrian, and the other result that caught my eye on Tuesday in League One was Reading winning 2-0 at Bristol Rovers. And great for Reading because it looks as though they're going to be okay. They're 9 points clear. We know all about the struggles that they've had, albeit they have played a game more than fourth bottom Burton. But Bristol Rovers, they haven't scored in 7 games, booed off after this one, and they go to Cheltenham this weekend. So there's another opportunity for Cheltenham to get some points against a team who can't buy a goal, let alone a point.
No, it's true. It's true. But you'd like to think Matt Taylor would get stuck into them and look for a reaction. They're obviously just drained of confidence, aren't they? That's what happens. I can't remember ever going that many games without scoring. But like, obviously, there's been twos, threes and four games where you've not scored. And it does put so many doubts in your head. You just get you become more scared at the other end of the pitch of making a mistake because you think, oh, crikey, if we let one in, there's no chance we're winning this game. So yeah, it's been a rotten run. They're lucky really that they got enough points in the bag earlier on in the season. But yeah, Matt Taylor needs probably to arrest the slide to avoid it being a difficult summer because he'll want backing, won't he? He'll want to, you know, go to the board and say, give us some budget, I can get us out of this division. And as it stands, if I was the owner, you're questioning whether you're going to give him that budget, aren't you? So they need to turn it around quite quickly. I think they should be highly motivated, actually, Bristol Rovers, to go to Cheltenham and perform. We know Matt Taylor's a good manager, but of late, you know, I guess he hasn't looked one.
Let's go into League Two then, Sam, where Stockport probably aren't going to be next season. They are just a point away from sealing promotion after they won 2-1 at relegation threat in Colchester. Paddy Madden got the winner. They're 9 points clear of fourth-placed MK Dons, who've only got 3 games remaining. The Hatters will guarantee automatic promotion if they avoid defeat by Morecambe at home on Saturday. It feels like a long time ago we were talking about them having that wobble, which was fairly prolonged, and they put that right by putting 8 past Sutton. And since then, they've really not looked back. A few draws and defeats in there, but now, what, 5 wins in a row? And yeah, over the course of the season, definitely one of the best 3 teams in the league.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I think they had a little period where they had players out early part of the season. I think Dave Challoner looked at different shapes for different games, but this is very much what we expect from them now, the way they're finishing the season in terms of the setup. Yeah, really good wide players, obviously a plethora of options in the forward positions. And I think rightly they were probably everyone's favourites going into the season. And they've proved to be absolutely the best side in the division, I would say. Tricky game against Colchester, especially the way that they were, you know, pegged back against Wrexham after, by all accounts, playing brilliantly for an hour. I watched Danny Cowley's post-match and he was devastated after that capitulation, really, against Wrexham. So I thought this was a tough game for County. So to navigate in the fashion they did, albeit with a horrendous goalkeeping mistake from Goodman. I don't know if you've seen it, Clarkie, who he's been one of the most outstanding goalkeepers in the division this year. He was amazing in that live game I covered the other day. He had an absolute stinker for the Nick Powell opener for Stockport. So Colchester still very much need points, but yeah, Stockport almost there now. And I think we all probably could have predicted this.
Same with Wrexham, right, Adrian? Obviously, Stockport, and they are the money bags of the division, and they can also go up this weekend. They beat Crawley 4-1 on Tuesday. If they could beat bottom side Forest Green and results elsewhere go in their favour, they'd earn their first back-to-back promotions in the club's 159-year history. And given how
stacked... Hollywood story, yeah.
Yeah, well, quite. But given how stacked their squad is, they probably won't need to do that much refreshing of it for a decent tilt at League One, or do you think there will be a bit of an overhaul?
I disagree. Yeah, I disagree. I think they'll need a big overhaul, actually, because I think that... League One is a step up, and because they won't want to just be in League One, they'll want to compete at the top end of League One. And yeah, I just think they've leaked a lot of goals this season. Their away form has been patchy, up and down. So look, they're having a great season, and well done to them. They deserve to go up. Yeah, you know, I do like Wrexham, but a lot of old players. I was looking at some of the numbers. 32 players have played for Wrexham this season. 11 of them are 30 or over. And 5 more of them turn 30 this year. So, you know, that's half your squad, really, that's you know, 30 or over. And I'm not saying at 30 you're done. Of course you're not. But I don't think you want to be carrying that many senior players in a League One coming. I don't know whether Sam would agree with that sentiment, but I think a bit of a shake-up and maybe go with more... I would absolutely target players between the age of sort of 22 and 26, players that are kind of in their prime, and players with League One experience, because that you mix them with what they've got, then they've got a real chance.
What do you think as well, Sam? I mean, I'm looking at 37-year-old Stephen Fletcher and thinking maybe he's made his last contribution to Wrexham.
Yeah, well, it'd be interesting to know what the business plan is, the football plan for the next few seasons. I'm sure that'll have been written out on one of your fancy documents, Matt. Do you know what I mean? I'm not for 1 minute suggesting that they get rid of Phil Parkinson now, but I think there will come a time, won't there? And whether that's when they make it into the Championship... I think he seems like a really good guy. I've got numerous friends that have played with him and played for him. And he was absolutely the right appointment for these few seasons as they try to rise out of the National League and into League One and beyond. But there will definitely come a time when they'll try and play a bit more football as well. I'm sure that will be the natural progression. So yeah, the squad will need to be improved, younger average age, and we may see that slight adaptation next season in spells. You know, other managers have done it, haven't they? I think back to Danny Cowley getting Lincoln up, remember, a couple of divisions, and then all of a sudden started to introduce more technical players, probably because the demands change of the owners and the fans. And I would see that being replicated probably at Wrexham, and in time probably see a glossy new manager as well.
All right, we'll keep an eye on that. Next today, we're going to have a look ahead to some of the weekend's games. We've spoken about Leicester already, but I'm intrigued by their match this weekend. It's down on the south coast against Plymouth, who are desperate to stay in the Championship. They needed Uncle Albert to score an own goal to give them a point against QPR in midweek. They can't seem to buy a win, Adrian. They don't score unless somebody puts it in the net for them. It would be so Championship, therefore, for them to beat Leicester City.
It would. It's a colossal game, isn't it? There'll be a real, real good atmosphere there ahead of kickoff, and it's up to the Plymouth players to deliver a performance that keeps that atmosphere white hot. Don't fancy them, I've got to say. Having looked at the highlights of the game against QPR. Should really have buried them. QPR had lots and lots of chances. Cooper in goal was terrific. They rode their luck massively, Plymouth. And some of the defending looked really passive and open. And you can't be that against Leicester. You can't, especially when they get those balls wide. You need to slow down the wingers. You need to make them go sideways and backwards. And the recent form book suggests that Plymouth were out of the ball, are not at those levels. So fancy Leicester to win this one. Maybe with something to spare. I think they'll bounce back.
I can't remember. I can't. Yeah, I don't know. Just haven't seen Leicester last night. You know, I wouldn't be surprised.
It'd be
totally
a very different type of game, wouldn't it? I don't think Plymouth can play the style of Millwall, can they?
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. And that, but on the flip side, they've probably got in Hardy and Whittaker, two players who are still capable of really hurting. Mumba, you could maybe throw into the mix now that he's back at left wing back. I was going to say, like, I can't remember a manager leaving. I mean, I don't know if you saw the, I think it's the owner, did an interview last couple of days, really transparent about, well, I say transparent, but just insinuating that he was completely wrong fit for Argyle. He was very different, you know, when from when he was interviewed to when he actually took charge of the job, Foster. I mean, yeah, really, really surprising stuff, you know, to come out. And I just can't remember a manager like leaving off, not doing a disgraceful job, but obviously coming in to fill really big shoes after how well Shuey had done previously. So I just think there's been just loads of ill feeling towards him, but they seemed so galvanised at Rotherham, didn't they? Like, even just going back to that shape, what, 3-4-2-1, and Mumba back at left wing back, Edwards at right wing back, Dan Scar back in the mix. I mean, they kind of ticked all the boxes, didn't they? The interim manager and an assistant or whatever they are, for what the fans would have wanted. So I thought that was going to be really difficult for Rangers last night. I thought that Plymouth would get something. I thought it was, you know, the atmosphere would be too hot for Plymouth not to feed off that and get at least a point as it played out. But as Clarke said, it's a completely different challenge on Friday. Yeah, I'd make Leicester favourites, but I just think, yeah, the Argyle fans need to come out, really get behind their team at the weekend and hope they can replicate, as you said, what Mill did.
Elsewhere, Leeds back at Elland Road after Tuesday's stalemate with Sunderland. They welcome Blackburn. Sam, are they having a wobble, Leeds? Defeat and a draw in their last two. You'd back them to put it right here against Blackburn there?
You would do. Blackburn at Bristol City, aren't they? Before then. So, yeah, I think Blackburn, not that they can afford to lose at Elland Road, but that's kind of how I'm playing out in my mind. I've got a slightly easier fixture this week. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, Leeds and Leicester have both stumbled since the international break to a degree, haven't they? I think, was it 5 points for Leeds? Leicester won those two home games, but obviously lost at Bristol City and now at Millwall. So I don't know if that's had a bit of an effect. They clearly should have had a penalty, it would seem, against Sunderland. But misfiring a little bit. I thought they did a good job on Somerville. I thought Ballard did a pretty good job on Bamford. I don't know, with Pirou and what's the lad that scored at Chelsea, Joseph, waiting in the wings. I just don't know. I don't know if I'd be going with Bamford from the off at the moment. I don't think he scored in five. Mm. He's got great options there. Maybe this is the opportunity for a little refresh at the weekend and bring in a couple of other players just to try and give them that impetus to get the 3 points. But yeah, I think, you know, Blackburn are hard to beat. Lost 1-6. I think it's going to be low margin games. They won't get thumped. But I expect Leeds to get back to winning ways in this one.
You can look at their running, Clarke, in two ways, can't you? You can say Blackburn, obviously, they've got their own motivations to get a result against Leeds. But then they've got Middlesbrough away, QPR away, Southampton at home. Now, on paper, those can be tricky games. But Borough might be out of playoff contention by then. QPR might be safe. And on the last day, Southampton might rotate their squad to get ready for the playoffs. So it's kind of difficult to predict what kind of opposition they're going to come up against.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, the margin for error has shrunk quite massively, isn't it? Because if the two teams around them win their games in hand, Ipswich, obviously against Watford, at the time of recording, we don't know, you know, how that comes. But if they win, that's 3 points. And if Leicester win theirs, you know, there'll be 4 points clear. So it feels as if Leeds have to go 4 wins from four to get top two now. It feels like they're in a bit of a problem situation. I'm with Sam, actually. I think Bamford had a great patch a couple of months back, but I think it's time to maybe freshen it up and go with Pirou. He would be my choice for this game. Blackburn, look, two great performances back to back. smashing Sunderland, and then, you know, being very impressive, I thought, in the goalless draw against Southampton. You know, they really went toe-to-toe with them and held their own. So I don't think they'll be fazed by this. So, Leeds might have to work hard to get the 3 points. But ultimately, I think they'll just grind it out.
All right. In League One, if you're not prepared for a huge game, tough sheet, because it's Bolton versus Portsmouth on Saturday. Derby played tonight as we record, so they could be 4 points ahead of Bolton by kickoff. But, Adrian, if Portsmouth win this game, they are promoted. You know they'll take a massive following because they always do wherever they go, no matter of how far it is. But it could be a really special day for John Messino and the Pompey faithful.
Yeah, and they deserve a special day. They deserve to go up. It's been phenomenal, hasn't it? 26 wins from 42 games. Only lost four. I mean, it's extraordinary. Four of 42. They've put together these long sequences, haven't they, of unbeaten runs. You know, barring a little bit in the middle where they were wobbling, they've been, you know, virtually invincible. It's been crazy. And what I really admire is that they've done it having lost so many of their best players along the way. You know, main players have been injured sporadically throughout the campaign. Yet they've just got on with it. And John Messina has not made a fuss defensively. Superb, really. 36 goals against, you know, less than a goal a game conceded. It's pretty outstanding. I mean, it'd be tough at Bolton because, you know, Bolton have all the motivation to go there and turn them over to stay in the hunt. But Pompey, they could grind out the point they need or the win that they need.
Have you composed a lengthy and heartfelt message of good luck to your Bezzy and Portsmouth number two, John Harley, yet, Sam?
No. No, I've been sending him just like brief little WhatsApps, well done, when they've been knocking out the wins. Really pleased because obviously it was, he was obviously working at Chelsea and I'd say it was a gamble. It was a great opportunity for him, but it's a bit of a lottery, isn't it, when you drop into the old EFL? We know that there's not great job security. So I think him and, well, John Messina, it's been an incredible season. I think certainly I didn't expect them to be probably first with this type of cushion. So credit to what they've done, especially with all the injuries. And yeah. I was at the reverse game here, and it was a bit of a Yengi v Santos kind of that defined it. So it's more likely to be Colby Bishop up against Santos, who arguably is one of the best defenders in the division on his day. So that'll be good at one end. I suppose Aaron Collins is the one to pick out for Bolton, who's come into form, and he's that kind of that elusive forward who could cause Pompey issues. And I just noticed as well, Bolton scored in 27 of 28 home games, all competitions this season. I think they were shut out in August against Wigan. That's the only time they've not scored. So they are formidable at home. But I'd imagine this will be tight. I'd imagine this will be tight, probably low scoring. I would take the draw if it was on offer.
And these clubs at the top, Bolton, Portsmouth and Derby, have taken advantage of the season and the landscape, haven't they? I remember us talking about it at the start of the season. I think we all said League One this year, there is no obvious standout team. This could be the year where the fallen giants regroup and really make a push for it, and they have. So yeah, credit all of them because they've done it in different ways. But I would like to see, you know, these three teams go up because they've all been through, for the supporters, because they've all been through some, you know, really miserable times, haven't they? And they are championship sized clubs. And look, as much as I like Peterborough, I was there at the weekend for that Bristol Street Motors Trophy final. They've had that day and it was a wonderful, you know, afternoon for them lifting the trophy. But the three above them, a championship sort of size, aren't they? And maybe capable of staying there.
Yeah, be lovely to see two of those three teams go up. in League Two, there's another really big game at the top of the table. This is MK Dons versus Mansfield. Two promotion chasers. Stags squeezed past Forest Green Rovers on Tuesday by a goal to nil. And that was big for them, Sam, because you and I always live on our nerves as regards to Mansfield Town and their promotion hopes. But they lost successive games and were three without a win before that. They're kind of scratching and clawing their way over the line rather than doing it in impressive fashion a la Stockport.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Bradford like thumping win a few weeks ago just kind of alleviated a load of worry for Mansfield fans, where, and, you know, inevitably they're going to think they're going to throw it away again, and that there's a vulnerability there. And they lost in the playoff final, they lost out on the last day on goal difference last season or the season before. So, yeah, I think there has been that sense that it's happening again to them. So, yeah, this was a massive win. Tom Nichols, former teammate of mine, getting a goal. And I noticed that he mixed it up a little bit. Will Swan was left out for that one. And also, in true Cloughy style, I've been becoming a bit bored with his team selections. Akins at fullback, Jordan Barry, who's a centre forward, who's been playing fullback for the last few years, centre half for this game. So he's back, Cloughy. And yeah, I thought this was massive. This was a massive, massive. They had to win, and they had to win well to maybe renew that confidence. But this will do. Going into a mouth-watering game, probably a bit of a contrast, although, you know, Mansfield do mix it up. They can play long, but they've got that ability with the midfield, Diamond, as it normally is, Keeler Dunn in particular, great technical player between the lines. They can mix it up, and MK Dons, we know, one of the easiest on the eye in the division. Be a good game. Two teams probably that'll go for it. So maybe some goals in the offing.
Yeah, great response, Clarkie, from MK to that gubbing that they got at Stockport at the end of last month. Since then, they put five past Walsall, drew three all at Notts County, and then won at FGR. Mike Williamson's got to be up there with contenders for manager of the season. I know he's not been there the whole time, but to say it's his first job in the EFL, he's been really impressive.
Yeah, it's seriously impressive. And yeah, he's clearly one of the sort of most promising young coaches out there in English football. He'll be on a list of a few chairmen, I'm sure. You're right, though. They're coming into some good form, and their home form is good. You know, I'm looking at them at home to the top 10 teams. They've scored in every game, and they've walloped a few. You know, 3-1 Crewe, 3-1 Wimbledon, 5-0 Walsall. You know, they scored, even though they didn't beat Stockport and Wrexham. So, yeah, I think there'll be goals from both teams here, and it could be a little bit of a shootout. I think MK will be massively motivated because they need to win, really, to keep their top three alive. Mansfield might look at it as we must avoid defeat, but I don't think that's Cloughy's sort of mindset. So, yeah, fascinating game, this one. And one other thing, and I'm not trying to slaughter Milton Keynes here, because I'm one of those that sort of thinks enough water's gone under the bridge and should leave him alone a little bit. But I do think that the players and the manager have done really well, because It is more than a half-empty stadium, isn't it? It's not an easy environment to play in, week out, because it's not the same as a lot of the other grounds that are smaller, where it's packed out and it's electric. It's a different vibe there, and they've managed to sort of, you know, drum up their own enthusiasm to produce some, you know, really, really good performances, particularly on their own patch.
Mm. Yeah, tangentially, I thought Charlie Baker made a really good point on TalkSport recently. He said, just you don't need to be Dons. There's just no need to have that in your name. You know, if they were Milton Keynes United or City or whatever, then maybe people would have a bit more time for them. But anyway, they're going for promotion. Mansfield R2 should be a great game, that one. We are nearly done for today. Before we go, let me remind you that our friends at Quinbet have enhanced their UK welcome offer, where you can now get a free bet worth up to £35. It is for new customers that sign up only. You can check out the full terms and conditions at quinbet.com/promotions or use the link provided. It's 18+. And remember, always gamble responsibly. You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at WhatTheEFL or on Twitter/X at EFLWhatThe. Speaking of which, I do have a tweet for the chaps to analyse. This one comes from your friend and my favourite, possibly Jack Nolan of Accrington Stanley. He is quote tweeting the official account, who said 90+7, referee Darren Drysdale blows his whistle for full time. Get in there. NCAFC 1-3, hashtag ASFC, and then a link to the iFollow account. That's not why we're here, though. We're here for Jack's quote tweet, which is, great away win today for the boys. Everyone dug deep and played some cracking football. Football emoji. Just want to thank all the fans who made the travel down superb, all caps, and got right behind us. Top draw, clapping emoji, at ASF official. There's a little bit of a grammatical error there, Sam, in that he says travel down instead of trip down. What I'm intrigued by here is what I think happens to me, and I believe you quite a lot, in that he's written the word football, then the emojis come up for a football, and he's just left that in anyway. He's not meaning to actually put the football in there, is he? Or has he thought, oh, the football's come up, I'm talking about football, might as well just leave it there.
Yeah, maybe. It's the superb, which I like. I mean, he's 22. I'm going to say it's quite endearing. Is it innocence of youth? Yeah, I'm going to give him that and say that I'm quite enjoying it. The superb makes it for me in caps, just completely unnecessary, but equally equally glorious.
How do you spell top draw? What's the correct spelling?
It should be ER at the end. He's put top draw and it wasn't a draw. Yeah. It was a top win, Jack.
Come on, right, Jack.
So he loses points for that, does he, Clarkie?
He does lose points for it. Look, the enthusiasm's there. It's all over the gaff, isn't it? Obviously with the capped up away next to great away. Obviously it doesn't need the caps. It's a little bit all over the place, but the sentiment's nice. I was just looking through his feed, actually. He loves it. He's reposting his own goals. He's reposting something from his agent where he says no winger scored more goals in League 2 this season than Jack Nolan with 14, unstoppable. He's retweeting that. You got to self-promote yourself sometimes, and I applaud him for it.
Always makes me really sad when professional footballers have fewer followers than I do on this platform.
What's he got then?
He's got 1,353, which is, a professional footballer shouldn't have 10,000 fewer than I do. So at JackNolan_11 is the place to go to follow him if you want to see him retweeting praise about himself and that kind of stuff, which is basically what Twitter's for, let's be perfectly honest.
We've all done it. Yeah.
Right. Well done, Jack. Well done, Adrian. Well done, Sam. We're going to be back with another pod for you next week, but that'll do it for today. Enjoy the football if you're off to a game this weekend, and we'll catch up with you soon. Bye for now.